spaces without devices.
Our own home is a smallish building with 3 bedrooms on the second floor and an open living space on the first floor. Living room, dining room, and kitchen all flowing together. We've worked over the years to arrange that space according to this chapter's commitment, filling it with things that reward skill and active engagement. When I stand in the middle of our first floor, here's what I see. Works of art on the walls, most of them original work by friends whose craft and calling we want to support. Books, hundreds of books, even though we only keep the ones that are rewarding and worth rereading. A few impressively hardy houseplants, a grand piano, and a string quartet's worth of instruments. The space in front of the window where, through all of our children's early years, we had a wonderfully indestructible craft table at a child's height with art supplies, paper, and whatever project they were pursuing at the time. It's now in the attic awaiting the arrival of grandchildren. A cabinet full of board games. A fireplace we were lucky enough to acquire with the house. A dining table with candles on the table and in the chandelier overhead. An oven and stovetop, which require someone to take the risk of creative cooking. What do these furnishings have in common? Some are basic and essential, the dining table and the stove. Others, like the art and the piano, are in one sense totally optional. But all of them require skill, sometimes a great deal of skill, to deliver their rewards. Our house is hardly a technology-free zone, however. I can also see plenty of easy everywhere technological devices, a charging station for our various electronics, 2 pairs of bookshelf speakers connected to a wireless music system, a dishwasher, a microwave oven, invisible but vital radio frequency signals carrying cell and Wi-Fi data, a refrigerator, electric lighting, heating and air conditioning ducts, controlled by a thermostat. None of these items requires us to have any real skill to use them, and each of them makes our lives more convenient without demanding much of us. There's plenty of easy everywhere in our lives and in our living room. The refrigerator, lighting, and climate control seem indispensable to us, though billions of people live without them today. The other items are awfully nice to have, and the music we play through our speakers often gives us genuine joy and the occasional spontaneous sing-along. Though our central living space is by no means technology-free, as if any space can be that in an age of Wi-Fi and cell phones, it is still true that almost all the devices on our first floor can be and regularly are replaced by thoroughly non-technological items. The bookshelf speakers provide music, but we can also sit down at the piano or pull out the violin and make our own. We can microwave our meals, which is great for making the best use of leftovers, but we can and mostly do cook them from scratch. For that matter, while I love our built-in dishwasher fiercely, every night we also plunge our hands into warm water and wash the pots and pans by hand. Okay, actually, it's usually the next morning, or 2 mornings later. Even the lights and the heat can be replaced by candles and fireplace. Some of our happiest times as a family have been spent on this first floor, lit entirely by candlelight and the glow of a wood fire. Why wait for a power outage? The Wi-Fi and cell signals are there, all right, but we can choose to ignore them, turning instead to conversation, music, books, or silence. Indeed, on Sundays, as I'll talk about later, that is what we intentionally do all day long. Only one significant technology.